First this evening, we bring you news that the Galactic Inspector of Vehicles and Surveyor of Hulls, Internals and Thrusters, that's colloquially known as the Give a Shit Directorate, have put the kibosh on the release of the new Lacon Type 11. After the chosen test audience, comprising of a number of streamers, plus of course our very own Commander Flossie, took a number of the early prototypes out for a spin, they reported a number of side effects that some of them reported. They reported a number of side effects that some of them reported caused them to need the services of the nearest infirmary, or maybe just a bit of a lie down in a darkened room. As reported by this news bulletin a number of weeks ago, the new Gatling-style mining equipment mounted alongside the cockpit has been one area of concern. Commanders have been reporting the kind of strobe that normally accompanies a banging tune at the local nightclub, as well as a persistent ringing in their ears after firing it. Engineers examining the cockpit broadcast audioscape had not taken into account any acoustic effects transmitted through the hull structure itself, and the combination of the vibration from the firing of the Gatling, as well as the big amount of pew-pew coming from the speakers, accompanied by a light show that wouldn't look out of place along the Thames on New Year's Eve, were a little worrying. Not least of which they discovered that the new mining Gatling equipment was only operating at about 60% of the expected power, and not delivering the kind of yields from rock that were predicted. The concern is that if they solve the yield problem, commanders might be permanently exposed to the kind of light and sound show that one would normally get from a superstar DJ on Ibiza, which of course is under what used to be the Mediterranean Sea, but has a nice dome covering it so the clubbers don't get wet. They have arrived at a cunning solution using dampened mounts, special acoustic insulation, and specially auto-dimming lights reactive side screens for the cockpit, while still being able to dial the power up to 11. Hand in hand with this update, which Lacon says will only take a week, the Pilots Federation have deleted their delete button for planetary installations, saying that the extra week Lacon were taking bought them a little time to build in some auto-defabrication mechanics into the construction sites. The delays were greeted with a mixture of responses from the community. This is what Engelbert Thud, mining specialist from somewhere in the Oort Cloud, had to say. "Well, I don't mind at all. Yes, I wanted the new mining ship, but I want them to get it right. After all, I plan on spending the next 20 years or so sitting in the cockpit doing nothing but munching rocks." Though Martha Grumblesnout from the Galactic Forums had a rather less positive outlook on things. "First they make it so I can only buy it with ARCs, then they don't let me buy it at all. It's an outrage. I cancelled all my plans just to get my hands on this, and they've let me down. It's a liberty, I tell you. Who cares if I'll end up deaf and blind on one side?" Buck Naked, spokesperson for Lacon Spaceways, was unavailable for comment, mainly as he's in the infirmary reporting strobe light related funny feelings. But his assistant, Trousers Debagged, said, "Lacon prides itself on only releasing fully completed, fully functional ships to market. Where would one we be if we published something half-baked? A bit like with the turning circle of a Type 10. There's no rush whatsoever. I mean, imagine if the Type 7 wasn't right when we released it. No one would have bought one." In galactic terms, 1 week isn't a long time to wait. Unless, of course, you're the CG publishing team over at Pilots Federation. But more on that later.
They say a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Unless, of course, it's the fable Augustinian corpse blossom rose. And that's legally classified as a chemical weapon in 3 systems. And a controlled narcotic in 5 more. But what's in a name? Well, when it comes to commander names, it means your reputation out there in the galaxy, your first discoveries, your Flimly Wazir graffiti on Guardian ruins, your Thargoid kill record. The thing is, your name, unbelievably these days given how much humanity is out there, is unique. There's only one Flossie. So there's a Flossie 2 and a Flossie 3, but only one Flossie. only one Commander Palantir. There are a few spikes, but most of them have numbers after their name. Your name is your passport to fame, though for some commanders, it's their passport to infamy. The Pilots Federation Legal Department have opened up a new revenue stream. The ability to change your name from the Dread Pirate Nigel to something that will actually strike fear into your enemies' hearts. A name that conjures in your target's mind an experience with eye patches, wooden legs, and the fear of someone interfering with your booty. Or, if you think very hard when you came up with the name on your pilot's license and rather regret calling yourself Thai Ladyboy 69 in a drunken application for your license, when your name is actually Bob, you can now change it for the princely sum of 500 arcs. That's about the free amount they give you for doing stuff on your ship for about a week or so. There have been a few grumbles. When are there not? Mainly as if you decide you don't want to be Turged Scotsman 11 anymore. Once you've given up your name, someone else can take it. Meaning in theory, they can go and stand on anywhere first discovered by said Turged Scotsman 11 and say, "It was me!" When we all know it wasn't. There are rumours that a number of pilots have already attempted adopting names abandoned by a number of notorious pirates for a bit of a giggle, and are having to do some very fast talking or risk an extended stay in the kind of penitentiary where dropping the soap in the shower is a dangerous occupation. Though, we don't judge. Maybe that's why they chose it. So, if you don't like who you are, now you can be someone entirely different, all for 500 arcs. And what's more, thanks to the wonders of modern holo-me surgery, you can even change your face. But we all know who you are still. Yes, you're Nigel.
It has been one of those weeks over at Community Goals HQ this week. You can tune in later to find out more detail, or not, about what's been going on. But as alluded to in the first article this evening, things haven't been exactly going to plan. In a stunning example of convergent planning, the Pilots Federation Community Goal team may have managed to secure a contract for a new mining initiative to coincide with the release of the Lake on Type 11, which was supposed to be a nice surprise, with some really cool rewards, probably double engineered. However, when Lacon pushed the release of the Type 11 back by a week, someone forgot to tell the Community Goals team. So this week we'll be going down in history as probably the shortest CG ever. Of course, with the CG having been accidentally published without the benefit of the ship required to take part in the CG, this week over at my office it's all been a bit of a kerfuffle. Though you could take part in any ship, actually. Eager pilots have read what it's all about, proceeded to load up their fleet carriers with all the materials needed to hit top 10% of contributors, ready for the go signal. Only to be told that only things mined during the CG were going to count. Whole planetary rings were depleted, hotspots became not spots. The CG team were up the metaphorical creek without a type 11. The good news is that the week's extra grace before it's actually published and goes live gives everyone the opportunity to do a little scouting in advance. Prop that fleet carrier in just the right location. Dr. Percival Mintoridge, Assistant Deputy Liaison for Cross-Departmental Timetable Synergy of the Pilots Federation, commented,
"In hindsight, we may have put the cart horse before the mining laser. Still, think of it as a rehearsal. A really expensive, all-consuming rehearsal."
Gloria Porridge, acting sub-deputy associate a provisional forward publishing for the Galnet Universal Editorial and Syndication Service, also known as GESS, had this to say.
We categorically deny any suggestion that the article was published in error. It was in fact an advanced announcement, retroactively mistimed. We consider this a bold editorial strategy, publishing events before they happen, thus reclaiming the narrative timeline.
More detail later on in this show.
Medical personnel aboard Hutton Orbital have confirmed that Commander Vante Un has been diagnosed with a virulent case of MODS, Mug Ownership Deficiency Syndrome, a condition known to masquerade as a range of other afflictions depending on the individual's physiological response and ceramic discipline. In Commander Vantian's case, the syndrome appears to have manifested as the 34th century equivalent of the Sol 3 Welsh virus, complete with the snots, the trots, the shivers, the quivers, and perhaps most distressingly for a man whose job involves speaking, complete voice loss, in effect. Medical staff described the symptoms as alarming but narratively convenient, and noted that while his body appears to be valiantly fighting off the infection, his enthusiasm remains critically undermined. The condition is believed to be caused by prolonged disuse or neglect of one's official Hutton mug, which, as all properly briefed personnel know, maintains not only one's electrolytes, but also one's narrative immunity to minor plot devices. It is not currently believed to be transmissible. Commander Vante Un, whose dulcet tones have long filled the airwaves with the measured gravitas and occasional innuendo, is now reduced to communicating via hand gestures, disgruntled glances, and a whiteboard labelled "I Have Opinions." His colleagues report a noticeable drop in studio volume, an increased morale, and mildly smutty asides. Oh, and it means they can actually get a word in every now and again. Lael Wolf has ordered a station-wide mug audit, citing public safety concerns and the rising threat of widespread quiver clusters. Anyone found not actively sipping from an authorised Hutton mug will be forcibly issued one with tea and possibly a biscuit. A spokesperson for the Hutton Health Authority commented.
MODS is a preventable condition. All it takes is one mug, held regularly, filled generously. Commander Vantian knew the risks. He chose alternative cockery. Now look at him. Hydrated, perhaps, but voiceless and full of snot.
No word yet on whether his voice will return, nor whether Studio 5 has ever been so peaceful.
In what has been hailed as a record-breaking demonstration of sheer tenacity, Commander Zulu has been formally awarded the Toughest Pilot in the Galaxy trophy for this year, 3311. Somewhat early, but also somewhat deservedly. The award, normally presented in late December, after extensive vetting, a panel of judges and usually a number of dramatic near misses involving Thargoids, federal bureaucracy, or undercooked station toast, there has been unanimously bestowed following Sulu's recent, very real-life extended reboot and repair cycle. Back in July, Commander Sulu performed what can only be described as an unplanned gravity-assisted descent down a staircase, resulting in catastrophic damage to multiple subsystems. Now, at this point, I would like to remind all pilots, do check the G-force of a planet prior to landing. By any clinical metric, he was not expected to survive the incident. Yet, in true buckyball fashion, and with all stubbornness of a high-G landing in a sidewinder, with one of the thrusters offline, he refused to eject. with more alarms going off than a Type 6 full of illicit cargo on a passing up after passing a police scan, Sulu was placed in suspended animation. And not a gentle napping in escape pod variety, it was more involved emergency drilling, medical rerouting, and at one point complete system shutdown for over 14 minutes. Family were called, doctors were braced for the inevitable. But Sulu, apparently, and I quote, had things to do. Each time they tried to wake him, he pulled a classic buckyballer move. He rebooted. Eventually, he came back online. No lasting damage, no corruption, just missing 84 days of logs. His driving license and his birthday. Recovery, of course, hasn't been instant. First came a zero limb control, then pneumonia, then arbitrary infection. To quote medical staff again, it's as if he wanted the full set. But slowly and with tremendous determination, Commander Sulu has begun to rebuild his frame integrity. Arms are online, legs are recalibrating, the cockpit voice log is functioning and issuing very firm orders to never do that again. Support came flooding in from friends and fellow racers, from those who for years had watched him bounce from station interiors, smash planetary surfaces at speed and explode gloriously, and who naturally assumed he'd bounce back this time too. And they were right. We were told that the hospital room was very dusty when fellow commanders arrived with videos and snacks, and that Mrs. Sulu's eye leakage was definitely caused by all that dust, and definitely not feelings. So today, without further ado, we confirm the following. The toughest pilot in the galaxy 3311 title is hereby awarded to Commander Sulu. The engraving on the trophy reads, for surviving what no pilot should, and returning stronger, louder, and even more likely to crash spectacularly. As of the press time, Sulu is regaining strength daily. He's not walking yet, but in buckyball terms, that's just thruster rebalancing. We expect a full recovery, probably with a boost assist and landing gear retracted. Welcome back, Commander. Fly fast, fly loose, and maybe this time, just one step at a time, please.
Welcome to the Hutton BGS bit, where we sneak into the Situation Room, shout, smell the cheese, loudly before letting one rip and running out into the corridor. Investment continues in Barnard Star, much as it has for these last couple of months, but with a bit of infrastructure failure to mix things up this week. Other investment systems are held... Other investment systems are held passé. Wolf 359, 36 off Yuchi, LHS 149 and Wolf 630. I won't bore you with the booms. Investment is the same, only much better. There is an outbreak in LHS 3556. We're at war with Fatherhood in California, sector BQ-YD6. At war with the Amici Gold Travel Group in California, sector OI-SB4-0. And again, also at war with GD, also at war in GD99-49 with Life Industry. Battling the Wolf 636 Silver United Group in LFT 1324. Squaring off against the EG Union in LHS 3356 and in Riga. Scrapping with the Star Pilots in Ministry. And in conflict with the Barnard Star Advance Corp in WISE 1405 plus 5534. Elections are in HIP 2173, HIP 80287, HIP 22633, HR 1529, LFT 142, LHS 3003, Minchcut, Struve 2398, Wolf 1069, Wolf 359 and Wolf 630. Now, that's a lot of waffle, but I bet you're wondering what it all means. If you want to truck it into one of those investment systems, or truck medical supplies into... Where was it? LHS 3556. If you want to shoot it, then get yourself across to one of those boring systems. And if you want to mission run, then your efforts are best put to use in those election systems. Easy. And that's it for this week's Hutton BGS bit.